Like for us tonight to begin our lesson by looking at the book of Proverbs, a book of wise sayings. And we'll begin as an introduction to tonight's lesson on what true wisdom really is by reading Proverbs chapter 2, the first five verses. The wise man Solomon said, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." That last phrase is so powerful. Find the knowledge of God. Certainly, we all want that, to find the knowledge of God. Well, in that text, we see three words that are essentially the same: wisdom, understanding, and discernment. These imply the ability to judge properly, to tell right from wrong, to reason correctly from the available evidence. Most of us are familiar with the account of King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. Concerning the two women that come to him about this baby. Both of them claim to be the mother of this infant. And we know what Solomon in his wisdom does. He says, well, let's cut the baby in half. Give half to one mother and half to the other. Well, the real mother says, no, don't do that. Please don't do that. Let the other one have it. And so Solomon knew instantly who the real mother was. This is an example of wise judgment, of proper discernment. Solomon tells us about true wisdom, and so tonight we want to discover from Scripture who the wise man really is and how he lives. How the wise man lives, how he goes through life, how he deals with people, how he deals with issues, how he deals with his community, how he deals with his government. We want to begin tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. And we'll be looking at some verses just prior to that and then some in that chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1, Solomon asked the question, "Who is like a wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed." So we're going to discover from these verses who the wise man is. Who is the one that has understanding? How can we tell if we have understanding or if others do? The first thing is the wise man takes into account the nature of man. In the chapter prior to that, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, beginning in verse 20, the wise man says, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others." This is a tremendous principle to live by. Tremendous principle. First of all, the best of men will sometimes do bad things. That's what he says. "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." Everybody sins. Everybody does bad things at times. That's what we need to understand. When we look out into the world, we must understand the nature of man. That no one is perfect, that everybody makes mistakes, that everybody does things that are bad. So one who claims to never sin doesn't even have God's word within him, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. So especially when it comes to small things, insignificant things, we need to become blind and deaf. Because even our closest friends, may on occasion make a harsh or unjust criticism. What does he say do? Best we ignore it. Because he says, do not take to heart everything people say. Now, that means that some things we're to take to heart. Things that are important, yeah, we're to take to heart. But don't take everything to heart, he says. Don't take everything to heart. The wise man knows that not everybody likes him. He faces that reality. He knows that not everybody likes him. He even says, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Yeah, there are going to be people who curse you, who don't like you, for many reasons. So if we're truly honest, the wise man says, we need to understand that even we have made remarks that are untrue, unjust, unkind, unloving about others. And the wise man takes that into account. Because the wise man says, your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. The wise man understands the nature of man. That people make mistakes. That people make mistakes. So the wise man doesn't take everything to heart. Especially those small things, those insignificant things, the wise man simply becomes blind and deaf to them. The next thing is found in verses 23 and 24. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. The wise man knows wisdom does not come easy. We are not born all wise. We are not born all knowing. We have to seek it with diligence. We must seek wisdom with diligence. That's one of the things we're doing tonight. We're seeking wisdom with diligence. We have found out that the wise man takes into account the nature of man. Now we're better people because of it. If we didn't know that before, we know it now, and we're wiser because of it. So the wise man searches God's word. We know this from 2 Timothy chapter 3. We know what the wise man does. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, here's what Paul tells Timothy. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What's he telling us? He says there that the answer to all your problems and issues are found within the pages of God's Word. Everything. You want to know wisdom? You turn to God's Word. Because within it are revealed all the answers to life. In other words, there is nothing we need to know about how to go through life that's not within the pages of this book. Thus we see why it is so important for us to study, for us to go to class, for us to listen to lessons, whatever. Because wisdom is found within God's Word. This also means for us that some things are even beyond our understanding. The Bible says that there are some things that are beyond what we are to understand. The wise man accepts that. We can't know everything about what's going to happen in heaven. We can't understand everything about that. It's beyond us. It's beyond our capability. We don't know what we're going to be like, but we know we're going to be like Him. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We don't know what this new body is going to be like. It's going to be like Christ, though. We know that. The wise man knows that. The third thing the wise man knows is that he obeys authority. Chapter 8, verses 2 through 5. The wise man, I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Wisdom warns us to submit to the powers that be. That is what we are to do. We're to submit to the powers that be. The authorities, the rulers, whatever that government is that we're a part of. We need to understand that they were appointed by God. In other words, that authority comes from God. The institution of government was started by God. In Romans chapter 13, Paul informs the church at Rome of this very thing. In Romans 13, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." Verse 5, "Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake." That's what the writer is saying back in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 2, when he says, "Keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God." God appointed the institution of government. There must be government. If there weren't rules and regulations, there would be mass chaos. You know, if our country didn't have law enforcement, if our country did not have a legal system, it would be chaotic. If there were no, you know, stop signs, if there were no speed limits, if there were no rules about breaking and entering, if there were none of these laws, we would live in total chaos. Because the majority of people simply do not follow God's word. They don't. Most people do not follow it. So, the institution of government is a necessity. We must have those. The writer in Ecclesiastes 8 says it's folly to defy the authorities unless there's a very good reason. Like Peter and the apostles did in Acts chapter 5 when they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Yeah, there are times when you have to choose. In other words, if God's word says one thing and man's word says something else, we always choose God's. But when there's no contradiction, the Bible says, follow those evil laws. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, what did he do? He paid taxes. He paid taxes to the Roman government. The Roman government was not a good government in the sense of being moral. They were a corrupt and unjust system of government. Jesus still paid taxes because there wasn't anything that contradicted God's word. If God's word would have said, do not pay taxes, then Jesus, of course, wouldn't have. But he didn't. The wise man knows the king has power. That's what he says. The wise man knows the king has power. Verse 4, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? We know from reading Romans 13 that God has given civil authorities the sword, and they are not to use it in vain. And that's what they're supposed to do. Again, that's why we have laws, and that's why we have punishment for certain infractions of the law, certain trespasses. They have the right to execute judgment. And it's because God gave them that right. That's why they have the right, is because God gave it to them. It comes from him. So the wise man knows and obeys authority. The fourth thing the wise man does, he knows the limitations of his own power. Chapter 8, verses 6 through 8 says, because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. For he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There's no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. Some things happen that are beyond our control. They are simply beyond our control. and we can't do anything about it. It's just beyond our control. And most things that happen in the world are beyond our control. I have no control over what the country of North Korea does. I have no control over what the people in Iran do. I don't have any control or way of controlling any of those things. So those things are out of my control. The wise man knows that it is out of his personal control to do anything about those. The wise man knows he cannot anticipate what's going to happen. In other words, he can't predict the future. He may guess what's going to happen, or he may predict what's going to happen, but he doesn't know what is going to happen. Verse 7, for he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? The wise man knows that. Knows that things may happen. Of course, James said much the same thing in the New Testament. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, James says this, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. To claim to know the future, James says, is evil. To make that claim. So the wise man realizes he does not know even when death, that pale rider, will come. He only knows that it is appointed for him to die. The wise man knows that someday that appointment he must meet. He doesn't know when that day is coming, but he knows it is coming and accepts that fact. The wise man understands he has limitations concerning his ability to withstand temptations. No one has power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. And no one has power in the day of death. So what does the wise man do? When he sees temptation, instead of seeing how close he can get to the temptation, he flees from it. That's what the wise man does. The devil has put the temptation out there for him. The wise man sees the temptation, recognizes it as a temptation, and runs from it. Instead of seeing how close he can get, he runs from it. He flees from it, knowing the destruction that it can bring. So the wise man understands the limitations of his own power and doesn't tempt God. And lastly, the wise man realizes that justice will eventually prevail. Verses 11 through 13. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times, and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. Evil, as we know, is not always punished immediately in this life. Some evil is never punished in this life. Criminals are not always caught. And even if they are, they're not always punished in proportion to their crime, as the wise man says there in that verse. Because of this, many will continue to do wrong. They see what? They see others either not getting caught, or they see others getting caught and not punished very severely. So evil men will see that and they'll do the same evil. And they'll continue to do it, especially if their evil helps them to prosper. It may be many, many, many years between the time a person takes that first drink of alcohol and the time he dies of liver disease. Maybe years and years and years. And it may look like there's not any repercussions from that alcohol whatsoever. That's what it may appear. So others will see that and do the exact same thing. That's what the wise man understands. The wise man knows that the one who fears God lives the best life now, regardless of how the wicked prospers. He knows the wicked's going to prosper, but he also knows that that life leads to death. So even though the wicked do prosper, he still lives the God-fearing life. That doesn't keep him from doing what's right. He continues on. Whatever is right, he's going to do, regardless of what the wicked are doing. He knows there is a day of reckoning. He knows it's coming. The wise man understands that. He knows there's the law of sowing and reaping. Several years passed between the time that Ahab had Naboth murdered and Ahab's payday in 1 Kings 22. There was a long time, but it happened. He reaped what he sowed. The wise man knows that the wicked will be separated from God throughout eternity. The wise man knows that the wicked will be separated. And he knows that. I think if we haven't read those before, think about how much wiser we are now than we were 30 minutes ago. That's why it's so important to study, read, apply God's Word, because that's where wisdom is. Wisdom is not found in the world anywhere. It's only found in these pages. So the more we read it and the more we study it and the more we learn from it, the wiser we are. We've learned five things tonight about what the wise man learns, what the wise man knows, what the wise man does, what the wise man realizes. And now we can use those things in our lives so that we can better cope with what life throws at us. And we're better off because of it. Our Lord said much the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. He described the wise man. We read about that this morning in our Bible class. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes a comparison between the foolish man who built his house on the sand, the wise man who built his house on the rock. Wise and the foolish. And it came down to the difference between listening to and obeying God. The foolish man did not, the wise man did. And that is still true today. The wise man is the one who hears the words of the Savior and does them. He learns God's word and applies them. That's what the wise man does. That's who the wise man has always been. And that's who the wise man will always be. The one who knows God's word and does it. And that great principle will never, ever change. Regardless of what the world looks like, regardless of what the world says is good, regardless of what the world says is wise, we know what true wisdom is. We have seen it tonight. And be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. Tonight we have a tremendous opportunity if we need to make things right. You know your own spirit, you know your own heart and mind, you know if there's something you need to do to make it right. And if there is any need whatsoever, then I encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song of invitation. Let's stand, please.